Good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone here tonight, especially those visitors that we have with us. We're thankful that you're here. If you would you open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 8? Tonight, just for a while, I'd like to talk about what are we seeking. Many times in our lives, we seek after things that man has put in this world and not what God has established for us to follow his commandments. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, this is where the children of Israel come to Solomon and they want to have a king. And I'll start reading in verse 1 and read the whole chapter. "And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his son judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second Abiah. And they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after much lucre, and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel and unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the things displeased Samuel, and when they said, Give us a king to judge us, and Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people, and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the works of the Lord unto the people, and asked of him a king. And he said, This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons, and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen. And some shall run before him his chariots. And he will appoint his captains over thousands, and captains over fifties. And he will set them to ear his ground, and to reap to his harvest, and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries, and to be cooks, and to be bakers. And he will take your fields, and your vineyards, and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them unto his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards, and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your godliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. And he will take a tenth of your sheep, and he shall be to be his servant. And he shall cry out in that day because of your king, which he shall have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us, and go out before us, and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, Hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, Go ye, man, unto his city. As we read through chapter 8, we see that the people of Israel wanted to be like all the other nations, that they had a king and that they only had Samuel as a judge. Many times in our everyday lives, we act a lot like the children of Israel, where we want to be just like everyone else and that we don't want to follow what God has for us to do. Even after God went through in verses 10 through 17, all the people, they heard all the evil and all the suffering that the king would bring to them, but they still turned away from God and they went out on their own. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, in verse 33, it says, Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Are we really seeking God's kingdom first? A lot of times in our lives, we want to seek God's kingdom. We all want to go to heaven, and we want to follow his word. But we don't put forth the effort, and we act like the children of Israel. Now I'd like to take a look at what we're seeking. My first point is selfish things that man seeks. In 1 Corinthians, in the first chapter, in verse 22, For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. The Jews back then, and the Greeks, they were always looking for signs and wonders that would show them who God was or how to live their lives right. Many times in our everyday lives now, you can even see it on TV. TV evangelists they'll have, you know, if you just believe or if you say a prayer to God, then he'll give you a sign. And many times we we go about our lives and people are looking for signs, and God wants us to study and to know him. And in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We need to seek after God by studying his word, not going about our lives looking for signs. Also, in Matthew, the 6th chapter, in verses 1 through 5, we have another example of this. "Take heed that you do not alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not stand as a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." As you see here, the people were standing out in the street corners saying their prayers, trying to get recognition of men, and that they were seeking after men to please themselves in their lives. And it does say that in verse 5 that they shall have the reward, but that reward isn't heavenly, it's just earthly reward, that they'll get recognition of men, that men will praise them, maybe they'll have friends and great possessions, but none of that is eternal. Only if we seek after God, that's when we get eternal blessings. Also in Galatians, the 1st chapter, in verse 10, "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Every day we go into our lives and we set an example before us, and many times we go around and we please men, we please our friends and other ones, but who we need to be praising is Christ. It says, "Because if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." We shouldn't even act like Christ is our Savior if we're not going to seek after him first. Some other examples of how the people of the world are seeking after selfish things. They teach what seems right, not what God says. In 2 Timothy, in the 4th chapter, it talks about men having itching ears and not wanting to seek the truth. Also, not calling sin to make ourselves feel better, because many times people will start making excuses that this is not a sin, or that it's just a mistake, or there's categories of sin to make them feel better. Another thing that we need to look at is how we spend our time in the week and how much of our time goes to God. I know for myself that between school and all the other activities that I have, sports and anything else, a lot of my time doesn't really go to God, but that's what we need to seek after. We need to seek after what God sets up for us to do. My second point is what God wants us to seek and how we are to do it. In Psalms, the 63rd chapter, and in verse 1, "O God, thou art my God. Early I will seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." This is David writing a psalm of when he was in the wilderness of Judah. And even after being out there, and, you know, I've only been out in extreme heat maybe a couple weeks out of my life, and that's at camp. And it's like the very beginning of August, and it's excruciating hot out there. And, I mean, that just goes to show that instead of thirsting after physical things, that David was seeking after God, and that's what we need to seek at and how we are to do it, to put God up in front of everything else. And also in Psalms 40, in verse 16, "Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love as thy salvation continually the Lord be magnified." We're to rejoice when we seek God, because God is all that we have in this life, but he's all that we have in the next life. We need to remember to do what God would have us to do. My third point is, what did Jesus seek? If you look in 1 Corinthians, and in the 10th chapter, And in verse 24, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. We are to seek after other men's possessions, and how to not seek after their possessions, but how to help other men. And that we are not here to serve ourselves, but to serve each other and to care for each other and put others first. We also have another example of this in Philippians, the second chapter. In verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That's just another statement that we're to serve after others and not ourselves, and that's what we need to seek to do in our everyday lives. Another thing that Jesus came and what he seeked was in Luke, the 19th chapter. And in verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came not to do anything else but to seek the lost and to set up his law and save those that had to be saved, because the old sacrifices could not forgive of all sins, and that's what Jesus came to do. Another thing we have to look at, though, is, are we following after the pattern? In our lives, we go out and every day we encounter people, but how often do we invite people to church, or how often do we even talk to them about God? We need to live our lives, and if we're not going to at least talk to people, we at least need to live our lives as a good Christian and to show people how to live their lives. Also in John, the 5th chapter, and in verse 30, I can of mine own self do nothing as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Jesus was seeking after not what he was wanting to do, but God sent him to do. And we also have to do that in our lives. We have to seek after what God has done for us, and we have to seek after what God is doing for us always, and that we should not put our lives ahead of God. In Colossians, the third chapter, and in verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Where to seek what Christ seeked in his life, and always strive to live our lives more like Christ. And then if you turn to Luke, the 13th chapter, and in verse 24, strive to enter at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter and shall not be able. Many of us in our lives seek after things of man, and we don't seek after what God wants us to do. And if we don't do that, then in this verse it's saying that we shall not enter unless we strive and we seek for that goal. And then back in 1 Samuel, chapter 8, in verse 7. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people, and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Whenever we don't follow what God has set up for us to do, and whenever we strive after man, we're not rejecting anyone but God. And if we do that, then we'll just never inherit what God has set up for us, and that we need to seek after that. Wrapping things up, we need to look back on our lives and see what we seek after. Many times, we don't seek what we need to be seeking after, and to, as in Matthew 6:33, to seek the kingdom of God first. We don't seek that as much as we should. And that Christ has given his life for all of our sins, and he came and gave his life that we might have eternal life to spend with him. And we go and we do things and we act like we're Christians, but do we truly seek after Christ? I know I'm sort of going short tonight, but this is my, you know, first time, and basically I just wanted to get the point across, and that's all there is to it. But if you would, go ahead and get your songbooks out. There are basic steps that Christ has given us of what we must do to be a servant of His. We have to hear the word, we have to believe what we've heard, we have to repent of those sins, and we have to be baptized. But even after that, we have to seek Christ in our lives and follow Him and do His will and obey Him. And if you haven't done that, then you're not seeking Christ. And even if you have, you have to continue to seek Christ in your everyday lives. And if you haven't, we ask that you'd come and stand while we sing.